Oh, Praise the Lord. Good morning. Good morning. Lord God, we give you praise. We give you glory. And we give you honor. I love that song right there. It says, if we're going to pray about it, then there's no use in worrying. If we're going to worry about it, why are we praying? Just leave it in the hands of the Father. Leave it in the hands of the healer and walk away. Take all your doubt and your fear. Let it go. Thank you for putting those words up there to that song. You see, how about we pray this morning? Father, in the name of Jesus, I have a specific prayer this morning, because I don't know if they've gotten on the plane yet, but I know that this mother and this son is en route here, and on them is the spirit of breakthrough on earth as it is in heaven. Now, Father, they've been attacked already. The son was by a car wreck. At the very point I was trying to call them and tell them to be careful, extra careful, because I knew the enemy was going to attempt. And he might, but at that point, I didn't even bother to answer the phone yesterday. I prayed and interceded for their success. And when I got the assurance in my spirit, man, everything was okay, then I stopped praying. But by then, it was way into the evening, and I just rested in Jesus. And I rested in the assurance that it's fine. God got it. Now, I knew, I believed that he had it all the time. But you see, I happen to know the devil. God gave me that ability. I guess because a lot of years ago, I was demon-possessed myself. And God sovereignly delivered me. He just put me in the right place at the right time to meet him, because I had almost given up and almost jumped in the Grand Canyon. But the voice of God stopped me, and a vision of Jesus contained me, and I didn't jump. You see, when you get to the point where you're hopeless and you meet hope in the person of Jesus, you're changed for the rest of your life. But that was just the beginning. That was just the beginning. I didn't meet him then. I was about to meet him. And I was about to have him reveal himself to me. Some of you know the rest of my testimony. Some of you don't. But my whole life is one testimony after another testimony after another testimony. And God was building his faith in me in preparation for the work that he had planned for me to do. And the sad thing is, he has attempted to do that with so many people, but they cannot let loose of their self-mastery. You know, they self-God, they self-self. And I thank God that he's showing me to share some things I'm not going to share, because you got to get that from Jesus. You got to get that for yourself. Why, Erica? If he gave it to you, he gave it to you for me. No, he didn't. He gave it to me for me because I asked him for it. And he will give to you what you ask him for. And then some. He'll add on to that. Some of what a lot of people have in this world. But until you can accept and respect the Christ Jesus that lives in your brother and your sister, in your husband, in your wife, how could you even think that God's going to give you what you don't respect and what you don't honor and what you don't reverence? Do you first? How are you going to really, really help somebody else? I mean, think about that. I've been blessed to know people in every vocation. What I think I haven't met yet is I haven't personally met a billionaire yet, but that's coming too. I mean, a billionaire that made it on their own, you know, with the help of God. But I met a little bit of all kind of professions and God-made people. And one of the things that I've noticed is that, and I asked God, why was it like this? Why have people stopped disrespecting you, Jesus, and each other? Why is it you say you're going to minister for God, but yet and still you don't even respect the Holy Ghost in the person closest to you? I can't figure that out. We got some issues that's got to be resolved. And so I say, God, why is it like that? What's wrong? How can your people get to the point where they want to take, steal, rob, and yet and still they profess to be holy? Not from the world, but from each other. We got a problem. And it's a problem that I know Jesus, if you'll let him, is going to fix. So as I was praying for the people that are in the will of God that are flying here, and they're coming a long way. They're coming a long way, you know, as in thousands of miles. So it ain't like they're coming from across the street or up the road. See, when you're in the will of God and you're flowing with his spirit, if they got to come from another nation to receive what God has in you for them to receive, they'll come. Because one, God will send them, and two, God will make a way for them to come and be blessed and be a blessing to you too. So I said, God, can you help me out with this? I said, I believe that a lot more people can be delivered. I said, because see, I believe that deliverance is the true. Post this for me in the chat room. Deliverance from evil is the soul-saving ministry of Jesus. Can you post that? About eight people. Deliverance from evil, all evil. I mean poverty. I mean financial evil. I mean relational evil. I believe that deliverance from evil is the soul-saving ministry of Jesus. Even the evil in yourself and myself. But it is not going to happen without submission to God. So I'm meditating on this. I'm thinking on this. And this is what I hear. Actually, I saw this. You know, the words kind of like appeared. Write this, eight people. You must replace the order of the enemy with God's order. Can you write those words? You must replace the order of the enemy with God's order. You must replace the order of the enemy with God's order. So I said, okay, Holy Spirit, we're about to have a lesson here. You must replace the order of the enemy with God's order. So now remember, I have been sitting there and I have been praying that the people got here safely and that the will of God be done and that whatever is contained. You see, God has a son. God has a son. Did you hear what I said? I didn't say he had a son. I said God has a son. And God gave his son so that his sons, God gave his son, Jesus, so that Jesus' sons would be the benefactors of the inheritance of God that Eve and Adam were tricked into giving away. So God has this lady bringing her son. Now, what she doesn't know, what she didn't know, but she's probably hearing me right now, that God can't deliver him until he delivers her. The dad got delivered. The mom got partial deliverance. But you see, the mom lost one son in death. That was her baby son. And the enemy tried to drive a wedge between her older son and his mother and dad, who now only had one sole surviving son. You see, even in the military, when I was in the military and war is going on, I don't know what the policy probably still the same. But when they used to have the draft, back in the day, everybody had to go in the military because every young man had to register for the draft. And during the Vietnam War, if you were a sole surviving son, you didn't have to go to war. Because if you died, then your family line and your name would cease to exist. So if in the natural, that was taken into consideration by the government. I want to try to share something with you this morning. I'm in anticipation of what's going to happen here. It won't happen till tomorrow, because my first thing with anybody coming here ever is you must rest. You must come into ease when you hit this ground, when you hit this geography, when you hit this environment. Before I will minister to you, you must come into ease. So the Holy Spirit said, you must replace the order of the enemy with God's order. So I said, he said, you got to do that with everybody. He said, but some people, it's going to be harder, and it always will be, with other people. He said, that's why I taught you a long time ago not to base anybody's deliverance on anything. I told you don't base anybody's deliverance on the deliverance of the Gadarene demoniac in Mark chapter 5, because everybody's deliverance will be in accordance with the order of the enemy in their life. So I said, okay. He said, now remember that the person is held captive in the sense that they know no other way to think. Remember I told you that a day or so ago? That a person is held captive in the sense that they know no other way to think. I said, yeah. He said, well, the devil does not create anything. He said, the devil doesn't create nothing, nothing, nothing. But the devil knows how to imitate. Getting a little puzzling here because I'm not fully knowing, and that's good. He said the devil can only imitate what he sees and then pervert God's original intention that God has placed in people and things. So I said, well, can you give me an example of that? So I can, you know, I don't want to be off to the left and I should be going to the right. He said, yeah, certainly. He said, the devil didn't create music, but he has perverted it. He said, the devil didn't create sex, but he has perverted it. I said, okay, I got it. I'm hearing you. So then I was told to go to I was trying to get the scripture about the devil. Remember, I said the other day that there's no physical description of a demon in the Bible. But there's a description of Lucifer. It says the carbuncle and gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes, was prepared in thee the day that thou wast created. He said the devil literally had musical instruments built into him, because Lucifer was created to bring glory to God with worship. Holy Spirit said, this is the main reason why music is a means perverted to turn many people away from the Lord. That Holy Spirit was saying much in the music industry, and many, many, many of those in the music industry are anti-God and anti-moral values. So that's over there in Ezekiel 28:13, where the Bible says that the devil was created with musical instruments built into him. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, emerald, and the carbuncle and gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes, was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. So Lucifer was created to bring glory to God. The enemy, remember now, he's still giving me an example. The enemy perverts music, because music was created to worship God, and the devil took music, something that spreads and honors God, and he perverted it into something that spreads immorality, rebellion, and sometimes hate. So I'm, you know, kind of wondering where the Holy Spirit is going with this a little bit. And the Holy Spirit say, it's time. It's time for the believers to become honest with yourself. And it's time for you to ask God's own Holy Spirit indwelling within you to show you where they might be, where there might be something inside of you battling you. Because the Holy Spirit was saying, once you are a believer and you're sowing seed, you're praying, you're fasting, and you receive prophecies, and it still seems as if believers are living under the shadow of something evil and finding it very difficult to advance. So I said, yeah, I've been thinking about that a lot. I said, help me. Help me, Holy Ghost, help me. He said, when believers live a life where every time they get a break, they get a breakthrough, something happens that steals their own blessing away from them. He said, look at this. Constant breakdowns, constant problems, job losses, contracts not being renewed. He said, But the horrible thing is, Erica, he said, when it becomes the reality of a believer that they trying and doing all they can and saying that they love the Lord, but inside they very unhappy. They can come to church, they can get lifted up through the music and the worship, and by the time they get to the door, it's lost. He said that takes away from the fact of who God really is. He said God is merciful and God loves to bless his children. He said, but you have believers that are living under the shadow of something evil, and they're finding it very difficult to advance. I said, but we just got, I said, this, wait a minute. I said, we in breakthrough. I said, that's not happening. And the Holy Ghost say, I say it is happening. And it's intentional. And it's coming from the camp of the enemy of your soul. He said, remember, you talked about and taught about altars before it became a revelation. He said, but it's still not a revelation. I said, okay. He said, you have to replace, and the order of the enemy has to be replaced with God's order. I said, I'm still not getting it. I'm not getting it. Explain it. Help me. He said, even some of the people you minister to have not replaced the order of the enemy with God's order in their life. I said, well, maybe I just don't know. You know, I'm not understanding this. So the Holy Spirit said, you don't have the majority of the people that listen to you. They're not in your ministry. They're not even under your covering. He said, but that doesn't matter. What matters is this. They came from somewhere before they got to freedom. They came from somewhere before they got here. And the majority of them are still living under the evil order that they came out from under. He said, let's look at the word family. He said, you have a biological family, and then you have a spiritual family too. I said, yeah. He said, well, now, most of the people that come to you, they're in a hard place before they get here. And they were in a hard place when God sent them there. I said, yeah. He said, but yet and still, they still have in their hearts a whole bunch of what they got wherever they were before they came here to freedom. And they're not free because they have not replaced the order of that bad stuff that they were up under, or that bad stuff that they were taught, or that bad stuff that is in a place in their heart still, and they won't. Erica, I don't care what you do. I don't care what you say. They're not going to be free until they can replace the order of the enemy with God's order. I said, oh. Give me an example. He said, let's say that the pastor they came out from under, the ministry that they still, you know, they go to that ministry on Sunday, they pick you up on, they take Sunday morning, they on the TED line, and You get them all filled, and then they take that to the house of the devil, and they sit under, and because that's their pastor, that's their leader, and they put you in a second position, what happens, Erica, is as the priest, so are the people. You know that. So what happens is their priest fills them up with all the trash and all the garbage that he or she has never gotten delivered from. And what happens? A war is going on. A war is going on. He said, and the same thing, he said, some of them know, have heard, some of their leaders are false prophets, a false witness, or just not. If the leader had enough of me in them, they wouldn't even need to come to you, Erica. Do you understand that? I said, yes. He said, but they won't replace the order of the enemy out of tradition, out of habit, out of family, or whatever reason. They're not going to be free until they can replace the order of the enemy with God's order. I said, okay. Give me a biblical something to go by. He said, well, you know when you were teaching about them altars? I said, yeah. He said, the head of that preacher has an altar. He said, now, I'm not advocating you have nobody put no altar up, because the altar is their heart. The altar is spiritual now. It does not require a physical altar, but the altar is the heart that the Lord Jesus is looking into and searching. He said, if the pastor and the pastor or the leader, the spiritual leader, has an altar, Erica, they have an altar. Now, what the intent of that altar is based on that person. But if a person has called by me to minister to my people, do you think I'm so stupid that I could not minister to them effectively? It's not God. He said they want to play the blame game. They want to blame God. They want to blame Jesus. They want to blame me. This was the Holy Spirit. He said, but that's not going to work. He said, if it was going to work, why are the masses so bound up with demonic? Do you think it's the will of God for you to be bound up with demons? Do you think it's the will of God for a demonic infestation to be influencing God's people? Do you think it's the will of God, Erica? And it's not God's fault. It's nothing God can do if they don't want to replace the order of the enemy with God's own order. And then they build up these altars inside their own heart. Altar unto paganism. Altar unto what I feel, flesh. Altar unto any myriad of things. So I said, can you still help me? He said, go to Judges. Chapter 6, verse 24. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. God, my peace. And that word Shalom has a very deep, intense definition. It's really a blessing. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day, it is yet in Ophrah of the Abizites. Judges 6:26. 25 through 24. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father has, and cut down the grove that is by it. You see, Gideon was told by God to destroy the altar of his father. We must destroy family altars, brothers and sisters, natural and biological. Speaking to you this morning about breaking the powers of darkness that is associated with those altars, destroying the works of the devil that came out of those altars. Judges chapter 6, verse 26. And build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Judges 6, 27. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. Gideon built an altar unto the Lord. You see, remember when I read this to you in verse 26, it says, put this in the chat room, 8 people, in the ordered place. In the ordered place. In the ordered place. There is an ordered place for our altars to be built upon. The altered place is the altar in our hearts. You must replace the order of the enemy's altar with God's altar. You see, the altars that God is talking about is the altars within our hearts. If the altars, brothers and sisters, of the enemy have been replaced within our hearts, then no alter can live within you. They're all terms, alternate personalities are built on false altars. And you are in the family of God. And let me tell you something. The altars that were built by your spiritual leaders, by your spiritual ministers, by the people who first introduced you to Christ, and by the people who first introduced you to witchcraft. Are you getting this? The enemy battles us through altars that had been built in places in our lives, in our walk with God, that have been altars that have been built in places that were not in the will of God. You see, Many people are not in the will of God themselves. So there's no way that they can fight the evil altars that have been erected against them and their family lines. You got to replace the order of the enemy with God's order. Brothers and sisters, you must have the altar in your heart, a place of God, hallelujah. You see, transformation takes place at the altar in your heart. But if you've had and been worshiping and erected and allowed yourself to be surrendered to an altar of the enemy, you'll never be free. Gideon took 10 men. The number 10 is a perfect number. 10 is also viewed as a complete number. 10 signifies testimony, law, responsibility, and the completeness of order. It represents God's order and God's government. Gideon was replacing the order of the enemy, hallelujah, with God's order. You know who ministered to your soul first. And you too have to replace the disorder of the enemy with God's order by creating an altar unto the Lord. But it has to be created within your heart. You see, brothers and sisters, the fulfillment of your prophetic destiny, your destiny in Christ, is dependent upon you destroying and replacing the order of the enemy with God's order. In verse 27, it shows us that Gideon was afraid. He was afraid of his father, and he was afraid of his family. Don't you see this? Gideon has been called by God to defeat thousands. The words that have been spoken over your life are bigger than those little battles and all those little lies that built those ungodly altars. Judges chapter 8, verse 10. Now Zeba and Zalmunna were in Karkor and their hosts with them, about 15,000 men, all that were left of the host of the children of the east. For there fell 120,000 men that drew the sword. The Bible says that Gideon was facing an enemy of 135,000 men. How could Gideon fulfill the prophecy over his life if he was still afraid of his own father and his family? You see, brothers and sisters, there was much fear in the life of Gideon. The order of Lucifer in your family life, in your spiritual life, in your natural life, can cause you to have fear, worry, torment, and anxiety. And much of that garbage is in your life today because you allowed the altar of the enemy to be erected somewhere in your soul, in your heart, in your mind, in your will, in your intellect, or in your emotions. You have the responsibility to replace those altars. You have the responsibility to replace the order of the enemy, because Satan creates off of what he finds upon those altars. Because Satan cannot create anything. He can only imitate.
The blood that Jesus shed for me. Yeah.
Something different ever since I can't keep hallelujah off my lips now. You make me wanna sing all about your love. You make me wanna tell the whole world what you've done. How you turned my life around. I was lost and now I'm found. You're the song stuck inside my head all day. Yeah, you make me wanna sing, sing all about. Yeah, you make me wanna sing.
I'm free as a free bird, paid like a dog.
Your love is a river, and that river is running wild. People think I'm crazy for the way I'm acting lately, that's true. I'm crazy about you, and you make me wanna sing. All about your love, make me wanna tell the whole world what you've done. How you turn my life around, I was lost and now I'm found.
Swing. The summer nights and fireflies and the sound of my old six string. Blessings on blessings on blessings on blessings if I still got breath in these lungs. And that's all I need to get down on my knees and be thankful for all that he's done. For my mama, for my friends, for your love that never ends. For the songs that make us dance on this old dirt floor. For my babies, for my girls, for the way they change my world. Waking up today, I just gotta say, thank you, Lord. I just wanna say, thank you, Lord. Oh, now. Thank you, Lord, for the hard times, for lighting the way in the dark time, for pulling me in, for giving again, the times that I took it too far. I gotta thank you for keeping me humble, for picking me up when I stumble. And although I change, you stay the same. And I don't say thank you enough. For my mama, for my friends, for your love that never ends. For the song that makes us dance on this old dirt floor. For my babies, for my girls, for the way they change my world. Waking up today, I just gotta say thank you, Lord. I just wanna say thank you, Lord. Oh, yeah. Praise up, I know one thing I know. I just wanna thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise up, I know one thing I know. I just wanna thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord.
Thank you.